This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Hey, this is Jedi Master Rob LeBarry, host of the Jedi Temple Archives podcast, and you're listening to... Wait, hold on one second. What the Force? Hey, aren't you Dr. Sunny Ravencourt of the University of Coruscant?
Nope.
No, you absolutely are. I recognize you. No, you were in the archives not too long ago. I believe you were on a tour, a guided tour. Look, here's the deal. This temple is not open to outsiders without escort. So you're going to just have to move right along, or I'm going to have to get Jedi Temple security.
Oh, come on. I can't get this kind of information at the University of Coruscant. Look at this transcription. This Jedi was murdered.
All right. That's it. We're not going to have this conversation. Padawan, please go get the temple guards.
Oh, I really don't think you need to call Jedi secure. Okay, here they come. I gotta go.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Goodbye, Dr. Ravencourt. All right, sorry about that. Where was I? Oh, right. And you're listening to Conversations Podcast with Pat and Charles.
It's a translation to a Star Wars nation. It's a celebration.
Hello and welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm Pat, and this is episode 115. In a galaxy full of space battles, blaster fights, and dogfights, one type of combat is more elegant than the rest. Anatomy of a duel.
This, of course, is the duel between Ahsoka Tano and Maul from Season 7 of The Clone Wars.
Yeah, The Clone Wars saved.
Yeah, it's a very interesting duel because... Well, firstly, it's animated, of course, but they use motion capture for the combat.
Mm-hmm.
So they use a female duelist, and then, of course, Ray Park came in to do the Maul work, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first and only Maul that is both Sam Witwer and Ray Park.
So cool.
Yeah.
You know, this is my second time watching this entire series of episodes. And the first time I watched it, the mocap didn't really do it for me. It actually took me out of the story. It was better the second time around.
I think it's just a great homage to the character of Maul. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Say what you will about Ahsoka and her animated character at that point. You don't have a real world counterpart or like actual martial artist filling in the role like you did with Maul. So,
right.
And to be the same one is quite fascinating.
Yeah, totally. So let's just set the table here for what's going on and where we are in the story. I mean, it's not hard to figure out, but what was immediately cool about this series of four episodes, this arc within the season seven, it started off with Lucasfilm production. It had the main Star Wars theme.
Yes.
And it had the red Clone Wars logo.
The tone of that whole opener is like cinematic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was like, I remember watching it and it's like, oh boy, we're in for something. I mean, just by the pure, you know, Lucasfilm production, it's like, what are we getting into here? This is monumental. You know, it's a big step for sure.
Yeah, so of course, this does start with Season 7, Episode 10, The Phantom Apprentice.
Yeah.
But really, you know, you have to see, as we usually do when we dissect these battles, you have to see where these characters are in their life, in their journey.
Yes.
So, Ahsoka had used Ataru, which was the fourth form. Okay. It's somewhat aggressive and very acrobatic. So she had used that, you know, because she's very quick and very mobile. nimble, some would say. So that's a great form for her to use. So with like the fast-paced fluidity of her movement and just her very precise ability to attack, it makes perfect sense for her to use that and be successful with that. Mm-hmm. Now, she had used the powerful Xian's technique, okay? And once she started using two lightsabers, she went to the Jarkai dual-wielding technique.
Which makes sense.
Yes. So basically, it allows the user to rely on both offense and defense, because you have the two blades. You have the defensive blade that is, you know, typically in the non-dominant hand that, mm-hmm. that can shield the body
right
at all times. And you can also parry with the dominant arm
mm-hmm.
and the longer blade for attacks.
Yeah, and she uses it so well, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so she really kind of merges those two forms in order to face any enemy at this point. So she does that, and after leaving the Order, she still kept in tune with the Force and also kept training in the main forms so that she could draw upon pieces of each of them depending on who her opponent was or what her objective was.
Mm, yeah.
So there are times where she will draw on other forms, but those were her two main forms, is the very acrobatic sort of agility heavy form 4, and then also the dual wielding technique. And that's, you know, obviously evolved over time through what she's learned and what she's, you know, learned were her strengths. Now Maul, he uses the seventh form, which we call Juyo, and that is also called the ferocity form because it's the more offensive variant of Vapod, which is the one that Mace Windu and Sora Bulk use. So it's the same form, but you're dialing the aggression up to 11. So it's the most energetic form. It's violent, chaotic. It's super unpredictable. So basically, I feel like it should be called the Maul form.
Mm.
Because it's everything that he is. Rolled into one form of lightsaber combat.
Yeah, and there's a move that he uses during this duel that is very unique to this episode. And we'll get to that a bit later on, at least that I picked out, and going back and looking through some various clips of what he's done. And to further your point, it makes it even more uniquely his, in my opinion.
When you read about it, it's like, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's... Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that right. is definitely his form. And like it's handcrafted for him,
right?
Yeah. So that's kind of where their strengths are going into this. But you know, Maul, he's a smart dude.
Very.
He's pretty cunning. So he's luring his Jedi into the sewer system on Mandalore, where he expects Kenobi.
Oh my gosh!
And it very much is not Kenobi.
Right, because this is where Ahsoka had left the Order, and Season 7, The Clone Wars Saved, picks up where she's gone through some adventures post-Jedi Order. A whole bunch of time has passed, and again, we're butting up right up against Revenge of the Sith. And as many of you have likely seen in the trailer, and Anakin sees Ahsoka for the first time, and it's just like a really, really intense moment for him. It's like he couldn't believe what's going on. And stunned to see her and happy to see her. And it's funny how, again, as we talked about in our Ahsoka Leaving the Jedi Order episode, he never, if unfailingly, supported her and was like genuinely happy to see her. Obi-Wan was sort of more reserved, as he always is, but she's standing there with Bo-Katan because Bo-Katan has enlisted her help to overthrow Maul, who's taken over Mandalore and is hoping to get the help of the Jedi Council. And as we said, you know, like this is really on the cusp. This is like literally hours, literally before Chancellor Palpatine is kidnapped, you know? So things are moving fast. So they come together and Obi-Wan begrudgingly does approve of Anakin's idea of sending a battalion of Rex's clones, him as commander and Ahsoka as an advisor to Mandalore to go see what's going on. And again, just like you said, he's so cunning, Maul is. And it's not Obi-Wan because they literally just got the alert that Coruscant's being attacked and that Chancellor Palpatine's about to be or was kidnapped by Grievous, so they couldn't go. So he's set this entire thing through the Shadow Collective on Mandalore, using all of his pieces again for another revenge move. And just like you said, she traces them down into the sewers. Again, Rex and the whole battalion, and even Bo-Katan's like, yeah, these clones have really worked out. Like, she was impressed with how well they work. And they get down to the sewers, and really, one of the most classic lines ever delivered by Maul.
I was hoping for Kenobi. Why are you here?
Classic Witwer. Yeah, so good.
Oh, he's the best. So he's absolutely like befuddled because he's like, I am worthy of Kenobi to come address this.
Mm.
and the council's like, nah. So then he's intrigued. He's like, all right, so what's her story? So he gets a little help from a little force mind pool from our pal, ARC Trooper Jesse.
Yeah, unfortunately. When they do sort of meet in that sewer, they have a very, very brief starting point of a lightsaber battle.
She's on guard, obviously.
Yeah, right.
She gets to like the sewer hub. And she's got both sabers humming, and she's just like in defense stance, ready to go. And he reveals that Darth Sidious is behind the plot to overthrow the Republic.
Yeah, and again, he's putting it all out there. He's like giving it all there.
But he's the bad guy. We can't trust the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's like, so he, like with Obi-Wan, he's smarter than this. But Dooku's like, bruh, like, this is what's going on. And he's like, yeah, but you're bad, and I can't believe you. And it's like, no, but you can, and you should. And he's like, that doesn't seem right. Your saber is red, and, well, that's a no-go. So
those are all bad signs.
Yes. I've got the bad feeling about what your intel is. And it's like, no, it's like, for real, man. So it's frustrating because like everyone's telling him what's going on. And they're like, no, you're wrong. And she does the same thing, which, I mean, you can't blame him because these dudes are the bad guys.
Right. And deceiving. And like she's.
But at the same time, Maul's just straight up chaotic. Okay. Yes. But Dooku like was friendly with Obi-Wan. So. His was sort of like, man, you know, like these dudes, yeah, sure, they're misguided and they're like, you know, enslaving systems and stuff like that. But like, I mean, you know, they're decent dudes. Like, come hang out with me. Like, we can like rule the galaxy as father and son. No. But, you know, but he's basically like, you know, like we, you know, it's not a bad gig. You know, like he's wrong, but like he's, you know, he's got his points. Maul's just like, let's F some stuff up, man. and so with that being said, he's like, I'm going to tell everybody the secret and then like, we'll see where the chips fall and I'm going to come out on top.
Yeah.
Because that's how he rolls, man.
Yeah. And whatever casualty or whatever, whoever he has to use en route to that chaos.
That
chaos usually leads to Obi-Wan. And
always, all roads lead to Obi-Wan.
Now, it's very interesting what you said because, you know, from Maul's perspective, he laid this trap perfectly, according to what he thinks. But it's interesting how disinterested Kenobi is. Obviously, his purpose is to protect the Jedi Council and Coruscant and the Republic. And there's a major threat to the Republic, you know, called Grievous. Right. So he's not going to go to Maul, and as enticing as that Maul may think he is, he really isn't that much.
No.
And he even says, as they're splitting up, I tried to kill him once, it's hard, or whatever he says, like as he's leaving the door. So like you said, Maul is falsely interested in Tano because she's been sent in his place when really it isn't.
Right.
She's the only one there, which sets up that really interesting dynamic because from Ahsoka's perspective, She's there to get rid of him. Maul was expecting someone else. So that little back and forth, which he ends with, he says, not yet. That was very tentative. And I don't know anything about the forums, you do, but it was seemed very pedestrian, feeling out like, okay, where are we going to go with this eventually? And there was very just like back and forth, you know, toe to toe, strike, 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 parry, parry, parry. And then that's when he shut it down and said, not yet. And then they all just sort of left.
Right. So basically, he's obsessed over Kenobi. You know, that's what you dragged him up from the depths and kept him alive is his hatred for Kenobi. So, of course, he studied him. Mm. He has done his research, as it were. You know, he went in, he watched, like, Space Tube and watched some of, you know, Kenobi's greatest hits. And he's like, all right, like, I can feel this guy out. I know what's up. So when he sees Ahsoka, he's like, who this? Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know anything about you. So he's a skilled enough duelist to engage her. And he kind of feels her out.
Yes.
To kind of yep. see, you know, when he ignites and attacks her, he sees how she responds, how mm-hmm. she reacts. Whether yes. she's cold and calculated, whether she's aggressive and angry, whether she's emotional. So he's sizing all these things up. And then he force throws Rex at her and escapes through the system. So that's the warm-up. And really, it tells him a lot about her as a duelist.
Yes. And she's feeling it out too.
Yeah, absolutely. So he can kind of get a sense of how she might operate,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a saber. And he gets, you know, again, he, like you said, he's very calculating. He's thinks he's laid out the trap perfectly. He gets very Palpatine-like.
Oh my gosh, yes.
When they are face-to-face in the Mandalorian throne room and he says, every choice you've made has led you to this moment.
Yes.
And it's like, every choice you've made has led you to this moment. You can almost hear Palpatine yeah. saying it. It's exactly something he would say. And mm-hmm. and it's the hubris of the dark side, really.
Right.
For them to think, you know, like everything has led you here to, you know, bend the knee to my will.
Yeah.
And that sort of mindset that they all seem to have is like, you know, this is now you will turn yourself over to me sort of thing. You know?
Yeah. And he's literally tried to do, you and I could rule this galaxy together. I mean, it's literally yeah, the playbook absolutely. From what he was played
like,
through.
We need to overthrow Palpatine, basically.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that.
Yeah. Another thing that he says to her is that the war is staged because Anakin is the key piece. And of course, yes. that just sets her off.
So there's a blast that shatters the glass in the Mandalorian right. throne room. And that is just so visually stunning.
Yeah, that it really is.
With the sparks and the glass and the light coming in, just everything about it is almost in slow motion. And it's just such a cool display of the animation. And then as she hears from him that Anakin took Maul's place by Palpatine's side, she goes from somewhat trusting him because she knows she's, you know, heard of Darth Sidious and this evil threat and all this and everything. And so she's like, well, if you know the key to this, like, let's do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then he
mm-hmm.
starts in with this Anakin BS and she's like, nah. So then she's convinced that he's lying. So she ignites her sabers and he's like, all right, well, I guess so we're doing this. and then he lights both of his.
Yeah.
And away we go.
Yeah. And like he says, it's time for one more lesson. And yes. You know, again, very much like you said, brilliantly said, it's like Palpatine. When push comes to shove, okay, we're done talking. We're going to go now. This is where it starts. Yeah. And of course, when he lights that blade, it's an exact reproduction of his introduction to the Phantom Menace. The same pose, yep. same everything. And when everyone lost their mind with the double-bladed
saber.
The saber, yeah. Oh my gosh, it was so cool.
Oh yeah.
Now, not to get off topic, but it's still on topic.
Okay.
When I looked at that blade, I'm like, wait a second. That's his blade. Interesting. So I had to go back and look, what the heck is this going on here? Because we all know what happened. So obviously the Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan sliced it in half.
Yeah.
After having stabbed through Qui-Gon, right?
Uh-huh.
So then He eventually obviously bested him, and so he still had his lightsaber, the one half that was working, and yeah. He fell down the shaft of guaranteed life, as we all know. Then Savage found him on Lotha Minor, brought him back to Dathomir, and then gave him back that half of the lightsaber that was still worked after he was fixed up by Mother Talzin the whole bit.
Correct.
So then he used that for a while, and then eventually picked up the darksaber, especially after beheading Pre Vizsla. So he was using those two back and forth until Sidious captured him in that one epic battle and with him and Savage.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when he was captured, Palpatine took those two, and he eventually recovered them both. But he then reforged the second half of that original blade, and it premiered in this battle here. And it's the only time we see that the reforged Darth Maul lightsaber from the Phantom Menace, because in the future episodes, we see it with the prongs, like those sort of very claw-like appendages.
Yeah, and he's got the one, like, arced bit on it.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, it's very inquisitory. I don't know if that was just like, hey, this is a cool design element here. And then later on, they're like, hey, Inquisitors need dark lightsabers. And that's hey, we can do that thing. And then make a circle and make them help them fly with it or some garbage.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, let's green light this. So it's very reminiscent of that idea with the Inquisitor's hilts. But,
yes, it's very true, yeah.
And then he's got a very similar design on his saber staff from Rebels.
Yes, which he ends up using with almost like a cane to help him
feel
like he's the old feeble guy. And of course,
the guy from the beginning of Aladdin, you know? Like I said, which strengthens my point about Ezra being Space Aladdin, because he's the old guy, he's the old Jafar guy at the beginning, you know, where he's got the like the shaky legs and the cane, you know.
Yeah, it's the golden rule. Who has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah, exactly. That's him. So there you have it. Another nod, Space Aladdin. So, of course, the last time we mentioned that was in the Hyperion Adventures episode with Tom and Michelle.
Yes.
So he engages her immediately with this, like, straight-up attack.
But before we get to that, we're going to break down the actual duel now. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What are we going to do with all these droid parts?
No idea. We can't even move without tripping over these stupid clankers.
Why did you call it a clanker?
Because that's what I heard one of the troopers call them.
That's right, citizen. They are clankers. And they're only good for one thing. Scrapping. At Credits for Clankers, not only do we haul away your old, useless B1 battle droid parts, we also take care of any that may be still powered up.
No, I'm not the commander. He's the commander. Yes, I'm the commander now.
From the Outer Rim to Coruscant, you can count on Credits for Clankers for the best value for your scrap. Send us a holo today.
Why do you leave? This place is a mess. Can you give me a hand to move these things?
No.
The Credits for Clankers is part of a Watto Scrapping Industries. Best of value, not guaranteed.
Bow, bow. And we are back. Thank you to our sponsor. So we did a really good build-up just before the break and sort of setting the stage of where, not only where the characters came from, where their mindsets are, but also what led to this final confrontation where we pick up after the not yet that Maul had spoken to Ahsoka. All the talking is done, and now it's time for the actual duel. And like you said, immediately as he lights his double bladed lightsaber, he goes immediately on the attack.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to Elvis. You know, a little less conversation, a little more action.
And Elvis certainly hasn't left the throne room right now. But yeah, so this is where that one move that I was talking about before the break was that he does his typical lightsaber spinning that we've seen throughout his entire history, like amazing acrobatics, control of that lightsaber. But then he does these two like left leg leap power strokes, which I've never seen him do before. Obviously giving him leverage to basically slam down from above on her, testing her strength. And that was a new one. I've never seen that before with Maul.
Yeah, well, you also have to remember, Lieutenant Maul, you got new legs. So, you know, so he's trying to test them out too. But he definitely, he almost chops down on her. With that, yes. I'm going to give you a minute. I'm going to give you a minute to get over that
one. I'm okay.
Okay. You're good? Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
So, yeah, so he's almost chopping down on her with that. And she's definitely on the defense immediately because she's like, wow, this guy is out of his mind. Guy is full of chaos and rage. So, you know, she gets her balance back. She counterattacks him. And then he knocks one of her sabers out of her hand.
Yes, which is crazy.
Yeah. So you're like, oh no, Ahsoka's down to one and he still has two. And like, I don't like those odds, but what do we say? Never tell me the odds. Because shortly thereafter, she's able to force grab her second hilt and get back in on the action.
Right. And, you know, and I think this goes back to what you're talking about before, where this is like a new player on a chessboard for Maul, right? He's sort of unsure about what he's doing. And to me, that sort of speaks to why he would have thrown these moves in there, because now he's actually like going for full force on her, A, to see what she can do to respond. And he's also taking, at a disadvantage, he's like making presumptions that she can't hold herself on it. Now, she does get dazed, like you said, and he does land an elbow to her face just before he does like toss that shorter blade out of her hand. After she gets her balance back from that, he repeats again that two left leg leap power strokes, as it were, because obviously he saw that it worked the first time. And then that's like when she goes back on the offensive, that's when her acrobatics really comes back into play. And then he's on the retreat. So it's like, she turns the tables for sure.
Momentarily, but then, you know, he's overpowered her and he's above her. And as he starts to push down on her, you know, again, she uses like a wrestling move with momentum and using your opponent's force and strength against them. So she drops down. So he sort of comes down and then she kicks him off and he flies through the wall.
Oh, that's so cool.
I mean, it's a great move for someone who's physically smaller. Because, I mean, you're not going to beat him with brute force. You're just not. No. So if you can use his strength and his force against him, then he winds up, crashing through a wall. And that's good, except, like, you still need to defeat him. And now you can't find him.
And what led to that was she egged him on. And she said, you're lucky Anakin didn't show up. The way you're
fighting, my gosh,
you wouldn't have lasted long. And then his response to her was, oh, you have Kenobi's arrogance.
Yes.
But yeah, that was a brilliant move. Because like you said, that she uses her slider and basically the fulcrum. no pun intended. Just like tosses him over, basically over her head out the window. And you could see at that point, too, she is visibly drained. Like, this has been a rough battle, and it's
physical battle
exactly, and at the most 20-23 seconds worth of screen time, you know what I mean, within the battle itself. But
I feel like in real time it was probably a little bit longer than that.
I mean, like, the amount of energy being expended at those parts is certainly, you know, taking a toll on her. And you imagine as well with Maul, especially being tossed out a window, and you can see his like double bladed scorch marks out the window.
Yeah, it's like the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons where like they go through the wall and it's like the cutout of them in the wall.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, oh crap, now I gotta find him. Like, it wasn't my turn to watch him. But, you know, he gets out there and he's immediately like up in the rafters, you're calling his Uber to come pick him up. You know, he's like, all right, well, you're on your way. Bing, bang, boom. So let me get to the roof of this place. So, that, you know, easy extraction. And so he's up in the rafters. And this is, as our friend Anakin would say, this is where the fun begins, because because we very quickly get to the point where it's like, okay, so now you're doing the same acrobatics, but you're on thin little, like, I-beams.
Yeah, thin support structures, and you can visibly see it throughout the entire battle that each of them struggles with that balance, obviously, because they're trying to, you know, attack, parry, flip, jump, and still landing on these tight ropes.
Defend and not plummet to their death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So she engages him, and they trade swipes. But
I love, like, the angle, though, where, like, he's there, and then you see the blue hue from behind him.
Y'all, from behind,
and then it pans around, and she's there, and you're like, oh, boy.
And you can only imagine, damn it, in his head.
Yes. He's like, Carabast.
And she lands a great elbow and roundhouse kick, which is very reminiscent.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and that's a great tactic, first of all, that he uses, Maul, I mean, on many of his opponents. We saw, you know, throughout his, you know, not just the Phantom Menace, but through many of the battles that he's had, whether it's with Pre Vizsla or Kenobi, he's always using that leg as like a third, like his martial arts style stuff as another weapon. And it's really cool to see her use it against him.
Yeah, so the battle for Mandalore is occurring all around them.
Oh, it's chaos.
You can see it outside. You know, all the troops are running around. The Mandalorian loyalists and everything are all, you know, just attacking each other. And they look cool as hell. Like, we got to do one of those helmets with the yellow visor and all. That's awesome. So this is all going on. And she tells them they go to assist with an airstrike. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right. So Ahsoka follows him, rather. And they're leaping and balancing on rafters. And once again, he's like, listen, you're going to help me defeat Sidious.
Mm-hmm.
And her response was basically, you know, what, I'm going to help you defeat him so you can take his place? Which, yeah, because that's what Sith do. You know, like, yeah, like that's, yeah. So then that's the thing is he leaps up, you know, higher in the rafters to get to his ship. And she loses a saber trying to follow him. He kicks it out of her hand. And then she loses a second saber.
Yes.
And they're a little too far away for her to just force grab him.
Yes. Like,
because they've fallen all the way down to
many, many floors. Yeah. Many, very, very far. Yeah.
Now she's sitting duck because he's got two blades. She got zero blades, but she's got that plucky spirit.
She does. And this is where he then slices the strut that they're standing on, this I-beam.
Yes.
And then flips himself over her and essentially getting the high ground.
Well, so before that, he slices that and she's standing there and like, that thing is unsteady.
Yes, right. So now the angling towards down, yeah.
She's like a fat bird on a little branch, right? At this point. She's like trying to balance on this thing like, oh, crap, I'm going to fall off this thing and fall down to where my sabers are.
Yeah.
And then he remembers that bit about the high ground.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, yeah. So he jumps onto the one that she's on, and it drops even lower. And she's like, holy smokes.
Yeah. Then he charges her, because that was the last time.
Of course he does, because he's crazy. Because he's out of his mind.
Yeah. I'm going to give you one last chance. Join me or die. And, of course, she doesn't. And then he charges her. And I watched this over again and again. So he charges her. He's got his double blade. She's basically a sitting duck.
Well.
And she manages to grab his hilt because, of course, it's like, you know, 2 feet long. She finds a spot and grabs it.
Listen, at that point, it's do or die. What else is she going to do? So she grabs onto that and, like, then he gets caught off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls.
Yeah. And she, like, almost tumbles him off, but she doesn't get off the rail. And he goes and tumbles down.
So horns over boots.
Horns over boots. Thank you. Much better option.
Yeah. So Ahsoka being Ahsoka, she force holds him up so he doesn't fall, but the Republic gunships are coming to save her, and she's like, I'll need you to save me, but she's like, but if you could grab him so I can like get back to doing my thing and I don't need to hold him in the air, that'd be great. So of course they do the you know, the grappling hook deal on him, and he's like, at this point he's like, no, you know, the jig is up, you know, you're going to ruin everything. So he starts yelling and losing his mind. So they're like, set phasers to stun, zap, zap. And then, you know, they're like, we'll take it from here. And then they put him in that, like, you know, carbonite sarcophagus thing.
Yes.
And that way, like he's protected, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like, she definitely wins that one.
Yes.
Because no matter how you shake it, she comes out on top. You know, if she lets him fall to his death, which she wouldn't do because she's Ahsoka. Or if she holds him there until somebody can. It's like holding out your hand on a kid's head, you know, so he doesn't hit you. That's what she's doing. She's holding him out like that. So she does, and then they're able to capture him and all that. So that is technically the end of the duel.
Yes.
But
I just want to say something about that is that when she's dangling him, he says to her, just let me die. Because like you said, he knows the jig is up. But again, credit to just an amazing character here, Maul. And Sam Witwer's
yes.
voice acting in this scene, like he says, just let me die. And then yes. and she doesn't, of course. And then you pull back to the gunship that you referred to that the, you know, the clones were getting there. And his scream, you're all going to burn. We're all going to die. You don't know what you're doing. Because he knows the end yes. game of this. And it's yep. it's mind-blowing. First
and
of all,
at
the
this
performance.
Point, it's desperation.
Right, desperation. And but he sees it, and like he's trying one last time. Like you said, as the prince of chaos in this story, no one's going to take it for face value, but he's 100% true. And they, like you said, they put him in that Mandalorian vault or the sarcophagus. Because, of course, we know the history of the Mandalorians and the Force-sensitive users. So this sarcophagus basically negates their ability to use the Force.
Right. So instead of being an all-powerful Sith, he ends up looking like Dathomir Hannibal Lecter. You know, so at this point, they're in hyperspace, returning him to the council. So Ahsoka has visions of Anakin's turn. Maul awakens, and Order 66 happens, all while they're in hyperspace.
Yes.
So it's like all this craziness, this mayhem, this chaos going on. Ahsoka's able to evade blaster fire from 8 troopers at close range and escape into the smoke.
Yeah.
Which is insane because it's 8 troopers all with 2 blasters. That's just 16 guns that she's escaping.
Yes.
Which is yeah. which is unbelievable. But, you know, there's a whole bit on that in the Tales of the Jedi with Rex and her training, which sure saved her hide at this point. But, you know, what's the first thing she does? She says, I need a distraction.
And you're right. By the way, it was the council who instructed her to bring Maul back to face charges and to face
Yeah, but face charges? He's too dangerous to be left alive.
But that's why he was sent back. That's yeah, why they were heading back.
Yeah, no, it's unclear. You know, he's going to stand trial, please. Jury of his peers? I doubt it. So Rex tells the troops to execute Maul, and Ahsoka's got other plans. So she stops them and she frees him and she's like, listen, man, do your thing. And his thing includes his version of the hallway scene.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Which does not include a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And is arguably the best of the hallway scenes.
Yeah, it really is full of power. And you know what else is interesting, too, is that...
No, I don't. Why don't you tell me?
Is that he's very surprised that Ahsoka lived through Order 66.
He shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, but at this point, like, everything's a surprise for him surrounding her because she's somewhat of an unknown quantity to him and not as studied, as you said, way back when with all, you know, Kenobi's greatest hits. But it's that respect is where that, I think, that Lady Tano comes into play, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the Kenobi's greatest hits because I'm sure that he snuck into the Jedi Temple archives and asked the archivist Rob to give him those files so that he could do his research on that.
I'm sure he did. And I think it was the Jedi archivist, Rob, that was the first to point out to us the design on the outside of that Mandalorian vault he had sent us over. I think it was like not the face of Yoda, but there was something very meaningful within that design of that the relief.
Yeah, it's like it's not only that, but then it's like the profile of a Mandalorian helmet is in there and stuff. It's like there's a bunch of stuff in there. There's a bunch of little Easter eggs in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so with a guy that's willing to fight to the death, to defeat him without killing him is quite a feat.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to do that. So that's like score one for Team Tano over here. So she definitely wins that duel, hands down.
Yes.
And, you know, he's half the man for it. So,
And he lives to fight another tale.
He certainly does, which, thank God, because he's awesome.
And there's not much more, but yes, it's still worth it.
And there's still more. Hey, it's still more, for sure. Listen.
Yes.
If he didn't, Kanan would be seeing his kid right now, so I don't want to hear it.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know what to tell you. He wouldn't be blind, that's for sure.
That's 100% for sure, yeah.
Yeah, you got that right. So, so it's a very interesting duel. And again, it's through two characters that really didn't get their due in live action initially. So then, you know, their strength and their fan favorite aspects fleshed out in animation, which really was where their characters got such huge followings. But then to bring it back to live action with the motion capture and all that, I think it's just really very honorable to the legacy of the characters and the craft and what they were trying to do with those character storylines.
Absolutely. And how it's intertwined within like Order 66 and back and forth with the larger backdrop.
Oh my gosh.
Someone mashed these four episodes, well, three of them actually, between the actual Revenge of the Sith and timed it so that they placed them in storyline.
Yeah, like cut scenes to the animation during the present time. Which is fantastic. Yeah.
And that's how cool it is that, like you said, not only is it an homage to these two characters and how important they are, but for Ahsoka moving forward, how important that was to, and that's not like she was like, oh, she got a medal or a badge from it, but huge experience against a very formidable foe and defeated him. And like you said, alive, which is quite unheard of because, Kenobi, you know, cut him in half and he still didn't win.
That's true. So it's definitely a testament to her skills as a duelist. And also, I think teaches Maul maybe not to underestimate his enemy because he felt that since she was someone he's never heard of, that she'd probably be much easier to defeat. Yeah. And clearly he was mistaken.
Right. And again, somewhat respect too.
Oh yeah. Loads of respect. He can hate somebody with every fiber of his being and still respect them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which makes his character just so damn interesting. It's so good.
He's the best. I love him.
Yeah, he's the best. Well, he's not the best. He's awesome.
He can be tied for the best, I think.
Yeah. Oh, he's up in the top three for sure.
Yeah. Or as Michelle from the Hyperion Adventures podcast would say, he's one of her top three, along with six other people.
Yes. Well, she's got A, B, C, and D.
Exactly. So, speaking of them, they're our friends. We recently collaborated with them, and we've got several collaborations with them. And
yes.
Those can be found through our very own website at conversations.com. We're on the Facebook still, facebook.com/conversations. Until we get kicked off of this ex-Twitter thing, we're at Swations over there. Conversations on the Instagrams, if there's still the Instagrams.
There is.
I don't know.
Is.
The world is a-changing, my friend, and it's hard to keep up. You know what isn't changing? Our Etsy shop at conversations.com. Conversations on Etsy. It's not .com. Mm-hmm. but there is a .com though, and we already discussed that. But if you forgot that, it's in our link tree, link.tree/conversations. Nice. And you know, if you're into links, bio.link/red5 will bring you to our Red 5 podcast network, of which we are proud founding members with our friend Roe from the Scary Scuttlebutt podcast and all of his other friends that are all linked together there. So if you like us, you'll probably like them. And you can find more about them there.
We're also on Threads. We're at Conversations. So we're there. We're hanging out there. And when we post things there as well.
I'll take your word for it. All right. So I guess since you like to talk at the end, you can take us out.
Crap.
Take that, pal.
I refuse.
Well, we're not ending this till somebody says something.
Well, this is Ahsoka versus Maul. I don't do a good Ashley Eckstein.
Well, time to practice, buddy. Oh, boy. Well, I guess. Why are you here? I was expecting Kenobi.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content, make sure you head over to Red5Network.com. You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more. All wings report in. It's the Red 5 Network.
Star Wars universe.